Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to thee this morning. We thank thee for these four young folk. Now, Father, as they enter a new phase of life, we ask thy blessing upon them. May they remember thee in all their ways. Thou hast urged young people to do this. Remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy grief. Father, we do trust that thou wilt guide them, for thou hast said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy precious holy word will give them all the guidance that they need. Thou hast said, in all thy ways acknowledge thee, and thou wilt direct their paths. And we trust they will consult thy word. Read it, and thus be informed as to the life thou hast had them to live in this sea for thy glory and for their good. Thou hast said thyself, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, material things, shall be added unto you. So we ask thy blessing upon them. We thank thee for them. Although we ask thee to bless them materially and physically, and things necessary for a life here on earth, we pray above all for the growth and development of their spiritual life. May they be strengthened by thy Spirit in the inner man, that they may live a victorious life and be able to confront the trials and temptations that are bound to come. May they do so by leaning upon the arm of the Lord. We ask thy blessing upon them as we commend them tenderly to thee in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Begin reading at verse 26. Verse 26. Acts 13. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to use the word of this salvation sent. They that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, that they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, On this wise I will give you the sure mercies of thee. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that to this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. By him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despise, and you wonder, and perish. But I worked a work in your days, a work which you shall no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you, every one who preaches the gospel and the word of God as it is to be that man, though a man declare it unto you. In our studies in the book of Acts, we've taken up practically in detail all the preceding chapters, and we'll be speaking tonight on chapter 14, also giving few points on chapter 13 that we'll not touch on this morning. Because we want to emphasize the two verses that we have, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. I want to speak on the forgiveness of sins. Now, sin, confessing my sins is one thing, but God wants us to confess something that even is more important because it's deeper. In other words, it's not so much me confessing my sins as a sinner, as to confess that I am a sinner. Oh yes, it's easy to say, I know I've sinned. But to say, I am a sinner, I am lost, I am hopeless, this is something else, and yet this is what God wants the sinner to do. God be merciful to me, being sinner. It's not lopping off trees. Sometimes you see a lovely tree and it has two or three limbs and they're wilting. And it's nice to cut those limbs out because it spoils the tree. But friend, that's not what God wants the sinner to do. To lop off a few bad habits. God says, no, you are a sinner from the top of the grave to the bottom of the root. You are a sinner. That's what God wants you to confess. I'm lost. I am a sinner. And sinner is the cause and the source of all my sin. That sin, what is sin? It's not a rash. It's a disease. A lot of people today are trying to cure a rash. And they figure they get rid of the rash, that's it. No sin goes deeper than the surface. Sin is in the human heart. It's a disease. And that's what God wants man to realize. It's not an accident. Sin is not an accident. It's not a weakness in the human nature. Sin is a fallen thing. That's what your Bible says. I am a sinner. Behold, I was born in sin and deepened in iniquity. And so when a person comes to that place, he doesn't make any apology. Like I mentioned on this platform a few weeks ago about a man wanting to know about the future because the present situation of the world is very dark and gloomy. And I tried to point out to that businessman that he needed Christ. Finally ended up, well, he said, after all, I got a few things going. And those two things were a few good deeds that he did. And he was a little man, and he tried to help the poor and so on. Man, you have nothing going for you if you haven't been born again. If you haven't come to Christ, and receive him as your personal savior, you have nothing for him. All our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on him. God who knew them laid them on him and believing, I am. And when a man acknowledges the sin as well as the effect of that sin, I'm a sinner. God be merciful to me, ye sinner. I haven't had one thought that God is pleased with. I haven't committed one deed that God can recommend me for. I haven't said one word that glorifies God, although you may sing in the choir, teach in the Sunday school, be an official in the church. Friend, except a man be born again, he cannot and will not enter into the kingdom of God. All our righteousnesses, good deeds, are filthy rags before God. That's what your Bible teaches. That's not the time. Man is a fallen creature. He has a fallen nature. Now there are different kinds of sin mentioned in our Bible. We read about ignorant sins. We dwelt on that when we were speaking earlier in the book of Acts. Sins of ignorance. But that doesn't mean to say you're innocent. To be ignorant doesn't mean you're innocent. I had that brought home to one time going up to Boston to a conference, and I was sailing along 60 miles an hour, and that was the speed limit in the state that I passed through, but I didn't know I crossed over into another state. I think this was New Hampshire. And I tell you, they were all set, because here was a big valley. And evidently, the state line was at the top of this hill. Well, I kept on going at the other top of the road, and anyway, he'd be done. He said, let me see your driver's license. Andrew. I said, well, what's my infraction? What have I done? He said, you've been breaking the law, speeding. I said, I've only been going 60 miles an hour. He said, I know you have. But he said, our speed limit is 45. Well, I was ignorant of that fact. I didn't see the sign. Fortunately, he was gracious enough to let me off. I didn't pay it. He says, well, he said, you can drive that way down there and North Carolina, if you like, because when you get up here, you Southerners observe our law, 45 miles an hour. I was ignorant of the fact that I was speeding, but I wasn't innocent. And a lot of people today are ignorant of certain sins they're committing according to God's law. They're not ignorant. They're sinful. So, it's a matter of realizing I've got to see what God says about my condition, and I've got to accept it, even though I don't like it. So we have sins of ignorance. And then you also have in your Bible secret sins, open sins, scarlet sins, double-dyed sins. Oh, your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be over this world, over an Isaiah. So here we have those scars, glaring sins. You have these sins sometimes, but they're not noticeable. Probably you look at a little good life. People look upon you as a very respectable citizen, a good neighbor. But God sees something deeper than that outward life. He sees your heart. God said, the sinful above all things and desperately wicked. Man is a sinner by nature. The sinner heart is born again. Then you have also innumerable sins. The Bible uses that expression. Innumerable. Oh, you say, I just made a few sins, yes. Suppose when we say three a day, you commit many more than that. Three a day would mean 1,085 a year. But you can multiply that, multiply it. God sees you not only that he noticed all the sins you committed, but he realized that down at the bottom is a sinful nature that cannot do good to his will. You are a sinner before God. And then we read in the Bible about three sumptuous. A presumptuous sin is a sin against light and against knowledge. Sin against light and against knowledge. The sin of deliberation. And in the Old Testament there was no salvation for it. No offering or sacrifice was provided for the sin of presumption. We have brought to our notice about Achan. Achan did not find any mercy in the eyes of the Lord. God told Joshua to have stoned the thing. Why? God had definitely and deliberately said that none of his people here in the earthly nation of Israel should touch of the accursed thing. They went into a land that they were conquering. They were not to touch of the accursed thing, and Achan did. He deliberately disobeyed God. He disobeyed light and knowledge that he had, and he paid the consequences that not only he himself, but his family were stoned to death. It was a sin of presumption. There was no sacrifice provided for such a sin. The Bible does say, be sure your sin will find you out. That's a law. Some of these hijackers have found that out. They parachute in that plane and be gone for a while, but sooner or later they get apprehended. I'll tell you, although we appreciate the FBI that we have in this country, in the Scotland Yard, in England, and these are brilliant men, and how they trace some cases down on so little evidence, I don't know. But I'll tell you, God's got an FBI. Never miss it. They get every criminal. All is Christ. God is a good book. Remember this. God will call you to an account. Not only for the fact that you're a sinner, but because of the things that you have done. So we find also you want to go over to 2 Peter, where you have the apostates referred to, for whom there's no hope for salvation. God says presumptuous are they. They sinned against light and knowledge. I'm going to tell you, people today are sinning against light and knowledge. Every time you hear the gospel clearly presented, God is giving you light. The only reason God doesn't execute you suddenly like he did in the old days is because we're in the day of you're in the day of grace. Pray you can keep putting this thing off. You can keep turning from the light and refusing to obey it. The time will come when the long suffering of God will end. That's when man's long suffering will begin. Because man is rejecting light and rejecting knowledge. The only sin in the New Testament which there's no forgiveness, is a sin against the Holy Spirit. You can sin against God and personally use his name and faith, and the Spirit of God will convict you of it. And you can say what you like about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think about the Holy Spirit, you may say what you like about the Son of God, if you forgive him. But when the Holy Spirit of God stop striving with you, try to convict you of your sin, tell you that this man is the Son of God, and through him alone you can get salvation. And he reminds you of the righteous judgment of God against all sin. And if you despise the Spirit of God and reject, you obey. And even go so far to tell the Spirit of God to convict you alone, who is there to convict you? And if you're not convicted, you'll never be converted. So the Spirit of God is the one, the last link, was renewed on a lost sinner. If you submit to the convicting power of the Spirit and come to Christ and be quickened by the Spirit of God into a new creature by Jesus, you say, but if not, if you do despite under the Spirit of grace, there is absolutely no hope for you. How about the definition of sin? How do you define sin? Well, the Bible says the very thought of foolishness is sin. The very thought of foolishness. Where's the man who's never had a foolish thought? Many years ago, I think it was the first year I was in Albany, we had some meetings down in a building down on Broad Street that was used by the Youth for Christ at that time. And a man dropped in one afternoon, it was a Sunday afternoon, and I happened to meet him as I got up as far as the post office. My car was parked up there. And he stood there and said, "Well," he said, "well, I enjoyed what you had to say this afternoon. But," he says, "what I can't understand is how a man who knows the Bible like you do believes that a person is saved forever." I said, "Dear, I believe that with all my heart. You mean to tell me a person is saved and he's saved forever? Suppose you go down the street and commit murder." Well, I said, "Suppose you're basing your argument on a supposition. A Christian is not going to do that. And you believe that a person can be saved and lost again?" "Yes, sir, I believe that." "Well," I said, "for instance, what sin does he have to commit to be lost again?" "Well, any sin." "Oh, any sin. I suppose the Bible says the thought of foolish. Have you ever had a food thought?" "Well, okay, oh, but I don't think the Lord means that sin." "Oh, well, for instance, what sin?" "Well," he said, "for instance, getting drunk." He said, "if I were to get drunk now and go down the street," he said, "people could see it." "Well," I said, "I've lost my salvation." "Oh," I said, "that's it. If you don't go down the street and you're not drunk, you haven't had any liquor, you're fully sober, you're saved. Yes, sir. But if you get drunk and try to hold up a telephone post, you're lost. Yes, sir." "Well," I said, "you're not trusting Christ to go to heaven at all. You're trusting him whether you get drunk." "And I don't find that." "Salvation's in Christ. The very thought the fool is." You see, that's how God did that. "Friend, I'm very happy with my getting to heaven. Don't depend upon me. Depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved me and gave himself for me." So as we define sin, the very thought of foolishness. And the Bible says the plowing of the wicked is sin. Was there anything wrong with a man plowing his field? That's legitimate. He has to do that to make a living. But if he is a sinner, whatever he does is sin. The plowing of the wicked is sin. Legitimate things are sin because a sinner can do nothing else but sin. He may have religious thoughts, thoughts of charity, good thoughts, but in the eyes of God, all the time he's short of the new birth. Whatever he said, whatever he does, is sin. Your Bible says that. That's not my explanation. And the Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. And where do you get the faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And whatever you do that's not according to the scriptures, God says, is sin. It's sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, in the Old Testament, if you heard a person swear, you had to go and get a sacrifice and have it offered. That's how God looked upon it. If you touched something that was unclean, you became unclean. And you had to offer a sacrifice and be cleansed. That's how God looked upon sin in the Old Testament. And God still looks upon. And your remedy today, remedy is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so hear this man, and he's a sinner from top to bottom. Sin is missing the mark. And whether you miss the bullseye by a yard or an eighth of an inch, you've missed it. That's exactly what God says in it. Man is a sinner, and he doesn't do anything else but sin. And he needs a Savior. Need those sins washed away. All sin is against God. David certainly sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against her husband. When he falls to his death, Uriah. But when David was smarting under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he didn't say, "Oh, Bathsheba, I sinned against you, and oh, Uriah, I'm sorry for what I did." What did David say? "Against thee, the only have I sinned." he went to the sword. He has sinned against God. When you sinned against God, let me say this, seeing you sinned against God, God's the only one who can forgive your sin. This is a big deal. The Bible distinctly says that none can forgive sin but God only. That's what your Bible says. And so man is a sinner. And seeing all sinners against God, God is the one, the only one that has the right, power, the ability to forgive you your sin. How does he do it? How do our text? Through this man, Jesus Christ. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified in all things agree, which they could not be justified by the law. Keeping the Ten Commandments will put this in the list. There's no sin in the law of the Ten Commandments. So the law is our schoolmaster to show us we are sinners of things that Christ has shed his blood for ours. So it's through this man. Remember the thief on the cross? He says, we indeed justly. He was saying this through his fellow. Who were still railing on Christ, but this man, the repentant thief, he says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man on the little cross, he's done nothing on him. He suffered for something he did not do. He suffered for us. That's when he turned to the Lord and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, the Lord, for today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And after, according to Hebrews, after he had made one sacrifice, this man, after he had made one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down on the right hand of as if you're not. This man. The man in Christ Jesus. This man received a sinner's reward over in Luke 15. This man. The emphasis was upon this man. This man. You intend to bring this man's blood upon us with the cry of the scribes and Pharisees in the early chapters of the Acts that we referred to? You intend to bring this man, Jesus, you say he's the Son of God, we don't believe it, you intend to bring his blood upon us? Yes, indeed, God will bring this man's blood upon him. The emphasis upon this man, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. God's salvation is in a man. A man, through this man. Remember the first mariners in the story of Jonah, they threw all within the ship that they could do without overboard because a storm was on them, and they were being tossed about like a cork on that angry sea, and they rowed hard, but that didn't do any good. They threw overboard all kinds of cargo, but not until they took up Jonah and threw him overboard. Then the sea became calm. Their salvation was in a man. In that case, good. Friend, there's only one man that has appeased the storm of God's wrath against you and against me. And he had to be cast out or cut off. And that was the Lord Jesus. When Christ was crucified and made available in his resurrection to sin, all who accept him, God is a thief. God is a thief. His wrath no longer will be experienced by all who put their faith in Christ. Our salvation is in a man, the man Christ Jesus. Not in our church, not in our character, not in doing the best ourselves. Our salvation is perfect. When can I have the forgiveness of my sins? Right now, the Lord Jesus has made that very thing. How often in the Gospels you could say, thy sins are forgiven, Lord. And over in the Epistle of John, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, his name says, in the present tense. And so we can know our sins forgiven here and now. My sins are forgiven. I don't have to wait judgment day to get my sins forgiven. I can get them forgiven right here and now. The Bible says, he was wounded for our transgressions, wounded for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his Christ, we are, right now, healed. That's what the Bible says. Where does he forgive sins? The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, according to Luke 5 and 24. No forgiveness of sins in heaven. For the angels that sinned are cast out of God. Out into God, reserved in chains of God, under the judgment of the great day. We haven't won anything. And according to the scriptures, and all of the scriptures have to say, we don't find one angel that found mercy in the sight of the Lord. Why is that? Because they were so fortunate to have a close proximity to God, to see a throne. These angels have so much light that if they sinned against that light, there was no hope for them. They were lost. And there's no hope for angels. There's no salvation in heaven. That's what it says. And there's no forgiveness of sins in hell. The rich man cried for a drop of water. The fool is parted. No forgiveness of sins. No forgiveness of sins. Son of Man hath power on earth. And if you're going to have your sins forgiven, it's got to be right here on this planet. And you can have them forgiven right now. I want to say this, that when God forgives sins, he doesn't forgive you up to the time you believe, and then you turn over a clean sheet, and from then on, why, it's up to you to keep that book clean. The Lord takes care of it up to the time you've accepted his Son. Now, that's all past. Listen, God requires that which is past. And that can blanket your life. The past, the past, the past. Like the schoolboy. He wants a new register or a new book. And my day when I was at school, you had to go up and the teacher had to look through your book. And if every page was used and used properly, you got a new book. Well, Molly, when you took it up to her and she started looking back, and she saw some pages didn't have any writing on at all, just a big block or some scribble. She looked back and saw the way you had abused the book in the past. And he didn't get a new book until you used all the space in the old book and used it right as much as it was correct. God requires that to this past. Remember, friend, God is going to go back into the past. He's going to drag out every skeleton in the cupboard. He's going to dig up every sin. He's going to record and reveal every word. God requires that which is past. The only way you can avoid that awful confrontation with your past record is by coming to Jesus Christ and having all his law. The murderer who's committed murder and he's to face the death cell. The way they used to. You could say, well, Judge, or the governor of the state, I know I did wrong, I committed that murder, but I'll never murder another man. I'll never take another life. The Did he get off because of that? No. That criminal has to pay for the deed he has committed. I promise that he's not going to do that again. We'll not get him off the hook. Many people who used to run grocery stores on credit, you do today, they buy on credit when they don't have any money, but when they've got the cash, they go to the supermarket. But here you find a man, and he's been buying on credit, and he owes the grocery $125. Every month he just pays a little dribble, and the credit keeps going up. One day he goes in and says, you know, I'm going to pay cash from now on. I'm going to pay for everything I get. I'm going to pay cash. The grocer says, well, I'm very glad to hear about it. That'd be appreciated. Pay cash for everything now on. So he pays cash more than this month. And he goes on and says, what about cash bills? It's over 100. Oh, I thought you'd forget all that. And I'm going to pay cash in the future. I thought you'd forget all that. No, sir. You take care of that with this past. God requires that which is past. What about all your past sins? And you're adding to them from day to day. There's only one thing that can reach back into the past and apprehend your first sin and reach into the future and lay hold of your last sin and blanket your entire life. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Which cleanses us from all the A-double-S. All. God forgive. Not forgive. Forgetfulness is a human weakness. Forgetfulness is a trait of fallen nature. We can forget this, and they'll come back to our minds. There's no weakness or frailty with God. God does not forget. He forgives, and he creates an act of oblivion. And he says, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Isn't that wonderful? Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. They'll never come back to my mind. In other words, they're out of his mind. Then they're cast into the depths of the sea. Not into a little river that sprays to see every pebble on the bottom. Not into a lake with clear water where you can easily see all that's on the bottom of the lake. I will thank God. Water 93 feet and I can see the bottom. That's not so with God. The Bible says he's cast them into the depths of the sea, and I understand that one ocean 7 miles deep. No one can look down there. That. God says he's going to cast our sins into the depths of the sea. If he has forgiven them, they're out of mind. If he has forgiven them, they're out of sight. But in the depths of the sea. And he said, I'll cast them afar, from the far away of the east and from the west. Now, you know, he doesn't say north and south, did he measure that? He said, as far as the east. On the west, so far will I remove thy transgression. So they're out of mind, he forgives them. They're out of sight, they're in the depths of the sea, and they're out of reach. Far as the east, from the west. And also, he says, I have blotted out of the thick cloud thy transgression with the cloud and with. Well, our sins are out of existence. He said, I've blotted out the thick cloud thy transgressions, and cloud thy sins return unto me what I have revealed. Our sins can be put away this morning. Out of this life, out of this sight, out of this reach, out of existence. Yes, my sins. Some of my sins are not a few of my sins are not most of my sins are not all but a few among you. All. My debt is paid, not some of my debt is paid. Not most of my debt is paid. Oh, all but a little of my debt is paid. Oh, that's not what it says. All my debt, all my sins are gone. Isn't that wonderful? My whole debt is paid, paid to the full. Christ has no co-redeemer. He does it all. He had to die and shed his blood to put my sins away. And if I accept him, I receive the forgiveness of all my sins. Through this man has preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. By him all that believe are justified from all sins. Who to think of those clouds that hang over the sinner? Some of them are big clouds. Some of them are small clouds. Some of them are dark clouds. Some of them are white and fleecy clouds. The clouds you saw 20 years ago, you'll never see them again. The clouds you saw in the sky 10 years ago, you'll never see them again. The clouds you saw 1 year ago, you'll never see them again. The clouds you saw yesterday, as gone, you'll never see them again. And that's exactly it. All our sins. Big clouds, little clouds, white clouds, black clouds, all of them are gone. As gone forever. That's what the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved you. This man, through this man who so fully identified himself with me, the sinner, that he took my sins and called them his own. He said, thou knowest my fear, my sin, my sin. He so identified himself with us that he took our sin. He became liable for it. That he had committed. And he was punished for it. And then Christ died for my sins. And I said that my sins are gone. My fears are all, I shun God's presence. And he's able to forgive all my sins and he's willing. Look at the cross for evidence of that. Look at that man who's spat in the face of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is singing him out in that crowd that stood at the cross. Go and tell that man that spat in my face. I forgive him. And he'll eventually see my face with joy. That man who put on me the purple robe and mocked it. I'll forgive him and give him a robe of righteousness. And he'll be with me throughout eternity. And that man who took a reed and smote me on the head. You tell that man, he'll reign with me when I wield my scepter of universal dominion. I'll forgive him for that deed. That man who's going to put that crown of thorns upon my head. Hasten and tell him, I'll save him, I'll forgive him, I'll give him a crown of glory in a day to come, and he'll share my reign with me. That man who tore the hair out of my cheek. I'll kiss his cheek. I'll forgive him. I'll save him. I'll take him to heaven. That man who beat my back with a Roman lash, and the very blood that spurted from my back and stained his skin. You tell him I'll wash away all his sins with my precious blood. And he'll be saved. Yes, you can say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And that man who drove the nails in my hand, you tell him, I'll clasp his hand.
with my power, I'll save, I'll forgive all the sins. He'll be with me when I wave that hand to show my power in the day to come, with a very scar in it that he inflicted. And that man is going to give me vinegar to drink. I'll give him the cup of salvation. If only he'll accept me, if only he'll trust me. And that soldier standing there with that lance, ready to plunge it into my side, is a nearer way to my heart than that. He'll only come for repentance first, acknowledging he's a sinner, and accept me as his Savior. I'll run out all his sins. I'll take him to heaven. Jesus. That's right. Through this man is to come to Jesus to forgive him. And by him, all that believe are justified. Clear of all guilt and guilt. Justified from all his wrath. All of it. And if you could not trust God, Lord Jesus says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. Where I am, you cannot. The only way to get your sin forgiven is through the Lord. How? Believe on. When? Now. Where? Right here. At the temple. Right this minute. This minute. Why? Why is there a difference between you? You'll never enter heaven with a monk of it. You've got to have your sins forgiven, or you'll never enter heaven. His only blood washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. This is God's wonderful way of salvation. His glorious plan of his life. And it's the only. And this is only possible through what Jesus Christ did for me upon the cross. Morning, if you're a sinner and God knows that you're intelligent, you say, I am. Next is important. Then why not come to Christ? Why not receive him, the one who took your place, and upon whom God laid all your sins? All our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him, and believing, I. Will you trust in this one? We're not asking you to join the chapter. We're asking you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ when you ever go back and he's Lord of it. We want you saved. We want you to escape hell. We want you to go to hell. You have to get rid of all your sins. And you can get rid of every one. By simply coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as your personal sin. God has believed. Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thee, we ask thy blessing upon thy soul, we thank thee we can present such a Savior as our Lord Jesus Christ, so complete, complete redemption, a complete salvation, a salvation that will land us in glory, to be with the light himself forever. May hearts open to this blessed one today. We ask of you, worthy and precious. So we sing 226. Just as I am without one thee,